Chapter 158. "You should have," Vivian says, stern and worried and angry, and mind spinning in a thousand directions like the rest of theirs. "Brought one of us. I'm not sure about your Haren, but at least the Tevinter and I know how much of a threat demons truly pose. We would have been of use." Llewellyn has been quiet. She's been quiet since she came out of the rift and talked to Varric, and it's been incredibly hard to catch her, let alone see her, for someone who is so incredibly visible. So incredibly, well, her. Llewellyn's face is buried in her arms as she sits against the wheel of a wagon, and it's been hard work getting her here, between the three of them. Vivian, Dorian, Solas. She didn't bring any of them into Adamant, and that means they all saw her fall, and Dorian? Dorian had this moment that he knows was echoed in Solas' face because they were together knocking demons off ramparts with spells, and he saw it. Vivienne was somewhere else, so he is not sure what she felt, but he knows there must have been some concern. One does not spend months working alongside and training someone like Llewellyn without growing at least a little bit attached or invested. Happen. This moment of, no, not her, not again, no! A moment of clear and uncontrollable heartbreak and mind-blanking terror because they cannot lose her. It isn't her hand or her title or anything. It's just her. Dorian can't lose his best friend. Solas can't lose his Dalen. Llewellyn has taken active pains to avoid all three of them, even more so than she's been avoiding everyone else. Highly unlike her, too. She may come at her problems from the side or other unexpected angles, but she never avoids them. "We would have helped," Dorian says, and Solas stands there, quiet and looking at her, and Dorian knows that Llewellyn can read something in the weight of his eyes that no one else can. And it's just something them, just like how Llewellyn can take Cole's hand and Cole will instantly fall quiet and peaceful, and the way Llewellyn will sometimes just look at Blackwall, and the man will go off to fetch her something, with a dip of the head and a murmured, "As my lady commands." Solas remains quiet, but he's certain that he's going to be tearing a strip out of her later when no one else is around. "We know the Fade better than they do," Vivian says. "We are the ones who venture into it every night. We are the ones who study it, master it, fight its pull with every breath. We know demons. We know the Fade. We know magic. And at least one of us knows blood magic." Dorian doesn't protest, because, well, he doesn't use it. He knows it. A second and third and fourth language that no one speaks in polite company. Llewellyn looks up, and she stands and walks over to Vivian, until the tips of her boots are almost touching Vivian's. Another thing, she's still wearing her armored boots. Strange. She would have delighted in kicking them off and leaving them in the wastes. And then she does something unthinkable. She reaches up and grasps Vivian's face between them, framing Vivian's dark skin with the glow of her anchor. And she says, in this terrible voice, this yawning, gaping, groaning, grasping, echoing, dying chasm of a voice, "No." They are all still. It is quiet. Like Llewellyn's single word has denied sound and time and the right of existence, told the world to stop. She has that sort of magnetism around her. And Dorian doesn't know if she controls it or if it controls her. But it is the sort of thing that, perhaps, would make the world see her as something more of a Dalish pariah, monster, than as the air and sunlight girl with the liquid eyes of a doe. "I did not bring you because you know," she says. You know demons. Demons know you. It goes both ways. I would not throw you into that den of them. And if I had known that I would enter the Fade once more, if I had known that what would come to pass was what would come to happen, I would not have brought any of you. Not Cole, not Cassandra, not the Iron Bull. And I would never bring the three of you. I would cut your legs and leave you in the sands. I would never have brought you to that fortress. Echoing and deep and vast, her voice is a thing that inflates their lungs as she speaks, and illuminates the night and casts the shadows on their faces, staring into Vivian's face. No, you do not know. You will never know. You must never know. You do not deserve what happened there. No one does. Do not tell me you wish to have been, to seen it. I have lived the nightmare. I have stared into it and heard its voice. You have not. I will not tell you of it. I will tell no one of it. I will take it to my grave, and it will be trapped within my bones and the dust of them. The tree of my flesh will keep it trapped in me forever. No, Vivian. No, Dorian. No, Solas. I was right not to bring any of you. I have never been more right in my entire life. I would feel much better if she weren't climbing the fortress walls like a large and skinny spider, Cullen says, and Varric shrugs. Well, you win some, you'll lose some. What did I win? She's climbing the insides of the forest walls instead of the outsides of them, Varric says. And would you look at that? She's even got a coat on. You shouldn't push your luck so much, Curly. I mean, what would life be like if she weren't climbing the walls? It's part of what makes her her. For one thing, life would be safer, Cullen deadpans. For another, it would make me feel less like I'm about to start climbing walls from lack of sanity. I refuse to count this as a win. Well, how are you going to get her down? Climb up after her? The dwarf has a point. Cullen, unlike their inquisitor, has little to no, none, practice scaling vertical fortress walls with nothing but his bare hands and, well, for her, feet. He wonders if this is a Dalish thing, a Clan Lavellan thing, or just a her thing. Do you think I could ask Solas? I don't know if vertical wall climbing is part of Chuckle's wide and varied array of talents. But you could ask. He'd probably say no, and then give you that look. But you'd have tried, which is something. Cole? If you can find him. He has a knack for showing up just when I'm thinking of him, and then giving me a strong shock that makes my heart do very unpleasant things. I'm sorry. Cullen feels his chest seize, and Varric jumps, hand going for where Bianca should be, before sighing, and they both turn around and Cole is fidgeting and picking at his fingers. Cole, Cullen sighs, because there's little point in even being mad at him about it. Yes? He points. Could you? Cole tilts his head, which doesn't really do much, because all Cullen can see of his face is hat, and more hat. I don't know. I haven't tried climbing walls like that, Cole says. The stones try to hold on, but they aren't good at it, because they're all packed in so tight. They're sorry to let people fall sometimes, but they can't help it. I can try. Would that make you feel better? Yes, Cullen says. It would make a lot of Skyhold feel better. Skyhold already feels better, Cole says, walking towards the wall. though Cullen isn't sure what the boy does can be described as walking. It's more like he just appears places, like a flip book, the kind some of the other boys used to make during lessons when they weren't paying attention. Cullen has little artistic talent, and mostly settled for writing snippets he remembered from books in the margins of his notes. Skyhold has something to hold.